Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We have a handout for you tonight, so you can partake of that. And just as a reminder, we're teaching on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit. Focus on the fruit is our series. And tonight we're going to talk about, and next Wednesday, as the Lord allows and directs, we're going to be focusing on joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Joy. And Galatians 5:18 through 23, it's there in your handout. We're going to read the scripture there in the New King James. It says, "But if you be led of by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," everybody say fruit of the Spirit, "is love, joy," everybody say joy, "peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such as there is no law." So we're going to focus on the joy, the fruit of joy. Now remember, we said before when we talked about love, we have to grow and cultivate and develop in these areas. These nine areas are nine characteristics or God qualities that are in our newborn, recreated human spirit at the moment of your new birth, your new life in Christ. And it's our great job and responsibility to develop, cultivate, and grow in these nine areas. These are primarily character qualities, spiritual character qualities that will help us be successful and live triumphant in life. Amen. So we want to emphasize tonight this fruit of joy and reintroduce you to it. And hopefully the Holy Spirit, by the grace and help of God, will be able to give you more insight and concept of the importance of this spiritual force of joy. So we said before, right there in the bullet reading, you don't wait for joy to come. Now see, old church means I wait until I feel joy, till I act like I got some joy. You know, New Testament truth is that we don't wait for our feelings, or in other words, we don't wait for joy to come, we make it happen. Joy is a choice. Everybody say that with me. Joy is a choice. So it's not, has nothing to do with your feelings. Not, and we said that about love, because remember, these are spiritual fruit or spiritual forces. Love, then joy. They have nothing to do with your flesh. If the sun's shining, if it's raining out there, you know, it has nothing to do with your mood that you're in, or how much sleep you got last night, or how many cups of coffee you need this morning, et cetera, et cetera. Joy is a choice.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as we'll talk about rejoicing, you have to make a choice to rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. So you're the one to generate joy around you. Who? You are. So that means you need to keep your finger on the monitor, your joy monitor. Two monitors you need to keep check on. Just like we got two thermostats here that set the temperature for this room, you got to keep your hand on your joy monitor and your peace monitor. Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. In other words, it's not something physical or that we consume physically like food, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everybody say joy in the Holy Ghost. So don't program sorrow by spreading bad news. How do you do it? Spread bad news. If you're a gossip carrier, you're always going to be mad and sad. I'm just telling you, if you spread bad news, if you gravitate to drama, then more than likely your joy level is going to be very low. And your peace level is going to be very low. So if you program joy by spreading bad news and expect joy to surround you, you can't do that. You can't expect joy to kick in when I've been living a life of joylessness outside. Amen. Psalms 150 verse 6. Let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Praise you. So in other words, real praise happens when we make it happen by being joyful. James chapter 5 tells us that if any merry, let him sing song. So merriment is a requirement. Merriment is a requirement for genuine, authentic, acceptable praise. So it's not the movement of our lips per se. It is the melody in our heart. See, many people want to sing, listen to music, but God has wired us as believers in Christ to become the music. He listens to your heart more so than he listens to your mouth. Because he identified through the prophet Isaiah that the people honored me with their lips, but their heart was far from me. So he's checking to see, where's my heart placed? He wants to find it, friends, in a place of joy, a place of being merry. Even when we give, God loves what? A cheerful giver. That's a byproduct of joy. That means I got to give excited, happy, expectant, energized. Amen. Not bucket plunk, not slap. When you get thrilled with the word of God, that's when it works for you. Amen. Hallelujah. See, when you're intoxicated with joy, it explodes in praises. So I want you to think about this concept. You see the title here, Generate Joy. Everybody say, Generate Joy. So who does that? You do. So you can generate sorrow too. How do we do that? Well, we all probably been there, if we be real honest. We've been there by what? Spreading bad news, talking about what the devil does or what the devil did or what the devil's doing versus what the Lord's doing. And that'll put poke holes right in your joy sack, in your joy bucket. And you will be walking around sad, no strength, and be drowning your own sorrows in pity. Everybody said, that's not where you're supposed to be. All right? So you have to generate joy. Why? Why, Pastor? Well, look at the scripture. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2. Make a what noise? What kind of noise? Now, you may not can sing, ladies and gentlemen. You might have the natural talent or grace-given, God-given ability to sing melodies in a very powerful way, but you can make a joyful noise. Amen. Everybody say, I can. Make a joyful noise. But who do you make it to? Unto the Lord. Now, wait a minute now. See, we can laugh around other people, but do you laugh with the Lord? Do you make a joyful noise to the Lord? Do you sing a joyful song to the Lord? This is how you generate joy. All ye lands, he says, serve the Lord with what kind? Gladness. Everybody says, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness, not sadness, not madness. You know, one of the things I received from Chief Moore, he doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. I'll say that again. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Amen? Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, again, let's get a wider perspective on this. Serving the Lord is not just coming to church for that 2-hour, 3-hour period. We were created to serve God. We are called to serve God, and we are commanded to serve God. When? 24/7. 365. Do we need to explain that? So if you're on your job, you're doing what? You're serving God, serving the Lord. If you're in your car, you're doing what? You're serving the Lord. And you're at HEB, Walmart, Target, you're doing what? Serving the Lord. Paul said in almost every letter, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we? We are sons, but we're also servants. Serve the Lord. What's the requirement? If you look at the job description of a servant of God, what do you say? At the top of the list, gladness. That means I got to get excited about the Lord and get enthusiastic about the Lord or get out of the office. Are you listening to me? So get a perspective. This is not just church time. We put on the glad servant face. No, it should be work time. It should be home time. It should be any time and all the time. Serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
Come before his presence with what? Singing. The Father likes singing. He's not interested in the sound of your voice as much as he is the sound of your heart. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
One of the greatest assets to fulfillment in life is joy. Everybody say joy. So when you're joyless, you are helpless. Because he says, you got to qualify by being glad to be my servant. Serve the Lord with gladness. You disqualify. Amen. One of the primary elements of the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there is no excuse for being joyless. Well, let's keep going. Because this, I'm coming up against some pressure here. That explains why downcast people are always going down. And you notice how people always talk about their problems and things get worse because they magnify their problem, their pain, their pressure, their predicament. And that thing continues to get bigger and it keeps perpetually going on. It seems like they just keep going through. But you got victory people that are always talking about their Savior, the solution. Come on now, the scriptures. Come on now, and they generate joy. Why do we need to generate joy, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You got to maintain your dominion over life circumstances and situations, and Satan himself. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. If you have no joy, you have no strength. Spiritual strength we're talking about. Spiritual strength. If you have no strength, you can't resist. If you can't resist, then the devil won't flee. And if the devil doesn't flee, you don't win. There is strength in praise. Psalms chapter 2, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast ordained, what? Strength. Psalms 2:8. That means a baby Christian can get strong, as stronger than Samson was, strong as David was, because of the same power, the same strength that was in Jesus comes in you. And you can face a mountain. Amen? You can overcome obstacles. Amen? But see, it takes, because it takes a boosted morale to make a definite and outstanding mark in life. Some people are always happy, unhappy, and they can't even explain why they are that way. They sag, they slump, or wonder, why is everybody else laughing and having a good time? You know, you even hear people's remarks about, you know, when people do pictures or selfies, whatever, through social media, and they always have the happy look, and people get upset. Why? Generate your own joy. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
See, it takes a glad heart to give acceptable praise to God. It's not just singing that registers your praise in heaven. It's worshiping, celebrating God from a heart full of what? Joy. And we know he inhabits the praises of his people.
Amen.
The qualified praises of his people are hearts that are full of joy and singing songs, psalms, spiritual songs to the Lord. Amen? And then you have to have joy to do what? Another reason why. To encourage yourself. Everybody say, I got to encourage myself. So sorrow and brokenheartedness thrives on the past. Concentrates on failures, mishaps, missed opportunities. That's your concentration points. I woulda, shoulda, coulda done it. I think I went too fast. I woulda, coulda, shoulda done it. Shoulda done that. Shoulda did this. Shoulda missed that. Shoulda not even got involved with that person. And you got your head down in the toilet bowl. Y'all here tonight?
Amen.
And so insult, what they said, you playing that over and over again. But a life of joy, a life of what? Everybody say joy.
Joy.
It's, on the contrary, focuses on the future. It's full of expectation for a bright and better tomorrow. Many people expect good things, but few believe that they will come to pass. It is only focusing on the future that you are guaranteed a continual flow of joy. Jesus despised the shame of the cross because he focused his mind on the joy that was set before him, the joy of the future. See, that's what you and I have to do to keep encouraged. Focus on the joy that is set before us. Are you listening to me? So you got to bury your past failures. You got to learn to forget. It's not irreparable. That's a good place to say amen. There's nothing you can do about it. The only way you can prove that you're not a failure is by joyfully putting your best into your present. And that's by being encouraged. In order to arrive at a successful future that you dream of, joy will give you the endurance to ignore the negative focus or forces, excuse me, around you and reach out for the glorious future. Because see, when your spirit is broken, your entire countenance goes down and your life starts crawling. Let's look at Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14. Now, I'll tell you in advance what the Lord wants for all of us and desires for all of us, many of us, to get our joy back. You know, the Psalms 21, when 51, excuse me, as we turn to Proverbs 18:14, the Psalms 51, David talked to the Lord and repented before the Lord and said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Now, many of us remember the day we got born again. I know I remember. And how you floated on cloud nine. And every burden was lifted. And you were so free. And the spirit of joy was all over you. You were glowing. Well, David gives us an insight that we can have that same joy restored back to us. When we initially received the Lord. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm talking about that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. So turn to someone next to you and say, "Get your joy back." All right. Romans 8:14 tells us the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken, wounded spirit, who can bear? We read this before. In the Amplified, it says, "The strong spirit of man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble." What kind of spirit? The strong spirit. Everybody says strong spirit.
Strong spirit.
So joy helps your spirit man stay strong.
Amen.
And stable.
Amen.
You can't minus out strength from joy. You have no joy, there's no strength. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Amen. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the what?" So keep your hand on that joy monitor. Everybody say, "Lord, help me keep my hands, spiritually speaking, on my joy and peace monitors." Hallelujah. And the biggest indication of peacelessness is worry and anxiety. When you start losing peace, usually cares and worries and fears and anxieties start setting in. They start creeping up on the shore of your mind and crawling in. That's when I lost my peace. You got to get your peace back. Philippians 4 tells us how to do it. 4, 6, 7, and 8, and 9, and 10. Get your peace back. Don't let your peace slip and slip over into worry and anxiety. Amen? And then joy is when you start feeling your spirit man's weakened. I mean, I can't even push temptation back. I can't even push praise out. I mean, in a practical way, you think about it when you're singing music. I mean, we had the songs tonight. I mean, you ought to have been in the heavens already by the second song. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Your joy level's low. You might want to check your thermostat and say, "Well, I got on defrost here." Taking a long time to generate joy. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
How does it happen in another practical way? In the morning, he said, "Come before his presence with singing." Right?
Yes.
Serving with gladness. Enter to his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So if it's hard for you to do that, then you're not generating a lot of joy. So God wants you coming in thankful.
Amen.
And praiseful.
Amen.
He wants you coming in thankful and prayerful. I like how Smith Wigglesworth said it. He said, "When I get up in the morning, I give God." Now, I like how he says it that way. I give God He didn't try to manufacture something. He said, I'm giving God. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. And he even told Lester Sumrall. He said, he don't ask Smith, his first name was Smith how he feels. He tells him. And he said, then I give God a 10 to 12 minute high-speed dance. Why? Because the Father likes joy. He likes you to serve him with gladness. To end with joy, you got to begin with joy. Even if you're going into a situation, and we're going to talk about it in just a second, he said, count it all joy. Your outlook determines your outcome. So most people starts talking about how bad it is, how rough it is, how tenuous things are, how tough things are. But God, the Bible says God sits in the heavens and laughs. The devil says he's going to do what? Are you listening to me? Y'all getting something out of this tonight? So you got to generate your own joy before the Lord. Now this is where you're practicing the presence of God or the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Lord in your own life. The lady came and knocked on Brother Higgins' door and said she lost her salvation because she knew I don't have the same joy when I got saved 3 weeks ago. And so she came to his house early in the morning, and Miss Aretha and him got up, and he said, what? He thought she had committed some great sin because she said she backslid. She did something. He said, well, have you done anything? No. He searched her heart. No, nothing. Did nothing. He said, then he's irritated. He said, well, I just don't have the same joy I had when I was saved. Now, at least you have enough sense to recognize I've lost my joy. Some of us need to realize that our joy level's low. And what do we have to do? We have to generate joy. We have to encourage ourselves. Turn me down just a little bit. That seems like I'm a little hot or spiky. Appreciate it. So you got to generate joy, right? So he said, okay, come on, sister. So he's a little angry. He said, get up. He said, let me show you. He said, and his hair was all tussled, and he had just got up out of the bed because they had been up late traveling in, so they were still sleeping when she came over. So he wasn't even in the awake mode. Just got up. And so he began to show her. How do you thank God? Praise God. Didn't feel a thing. He said his mouth was cotton mouth. Dry as it could be. But he began to thank and praise God. And then the joy of the Lord began to bubble up on him. Somebody say glory to God. Now see, old Pentecostals used to know how to do this. We've lost some of that in the church today. Where the sisters or the brothers could pray heaven now, could tap into heaven at any moment. Were you carrying the kingdom of God? And the kingdom of God is what? Not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God. So anywhere, anytime, we can get fired up for God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we can't, the last bullet here on the first page, we can't overexpose ourselves to heartbreaking news because we stop life from delivering its goodness to you. So if you enjoy telling bad news, you cannot maintain, everybody say it, joy.
Joy.
Say it again, joy.
Joy.
So you have to make a choice to rejoice. Now, four scriptures here. Philippians 3:1. Rejoice in the Lord. rejoice where? In the Lord. You're not rejoicing in this problem, in the situation, my brother and my sister. You have a relational schism going on. You have a crisis at the house. Or you have a financial dilemma. Or perhaps you've got job pressure. But what does Scripture tell us? Rejoice where?
In the Lord.
Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
You have to make a choice to rejoice.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 talks about rejoicing too. Because see, rejoicing is a product of joy. It is a process to rekindle and stir up the joy that you already have. Amen. And he said, you became followers of us and much of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Sometimes it happens that way. You get in the word, you're in the battlefield of your of life at the moment. You're in the trenches, you're in the faith foxhole, and bullets are flying over your head, and the devil's telling it ain't gonna happen, it ain't gonna do it, this ain't gonna happen. He said, but you got a word coming from you, and you rejoice over that word. Because many of you told me, you're sitting in church and you seem like God singled you out or speaking directly to you. What did he say? You're supposed to do that with joy in of the Holy Spirit. Receive that word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, that's for me. And then you get excited about, because it's the word that you get excited about that works for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got to stay calm right now. Okay. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice forevermore or always. King James says forevermore, but always is the same thing. Rejoice forevermore. Same thing. Rejoicing is an act of faith. The Holy Spirit's not going to make you rejoice, but he will help you rejoice. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit will not make you rejoice, but he will certainly be ready and stand by and help you when you choose to rejoice.
Amen.
All right? Rejoicing will enable us to make progress during difficult times or in difficult times. Hallelujah. Because the Bible tells us in Peter that when the trial of your faith is going on, let's look at that. First Peter 1. We're almost done. God wants to do something. Thank you, Lord. Y'all praying?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'll start reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. How much? So how would you measure, friends, tonight, how often you rejoice? Would you measure it by saying, I greatly rejoice? Now, many of us go through stuff because that's just a part of the Christian life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means we're always going to be going through trials, tests, and trouble. Isn't that right? All right. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice for now, for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, many kinds of aggravations. Heaviness. That means the devil's trying to beat you down and take you out. Anybody ever been there? Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth through it, be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and glory and honor of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom now you see him not, yet believing ye what? Rejoice. With what? Joy unspeakable and what? Full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We said the bridge between believing and receiving is rejoicing. This is how you make progress from believing God for a breakthrough, a blessing to come through. And that bridge between what I'm believing to need to get to a place of receiving is rejoicing. Hallelujah. So rejoicing will enable you and I, friends, to make progress in difficult times. Now, again, this is not logical, but it is spiritual. Let me say it one more time. This is not logical, but it's spiritual. You got problems at the house? You should be rejoicing. Amen. I call you. Pastor Cynthia call you. One of the brothers and sisters call you. What y'all doing? We rejoicing. We just got finished rejoicing. Listen, this is the behavior God wants in the body. It's kingdom behavior. It's spiritual responding. It's not sitting around stewing up sorrow, gloom, despair, agony on me, eating a bowl of sorrow soup. Are you listening to me? What you doing, brother? I'm rejoicing. And when you rejoice in the Lord, you rejoice in what the Lord has promised and what the Lord has provided. That's an act of your faith. You don't see nothing, but you believe. And while you're believing, you're rejoicing to receive. Hallelujah. 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 Rejoice. Well, I got to join myself while I'm up here. All right. Webster defines rejoice as to give joy to. You got to give joy to you and to the situation. Because what's the principle? Don't forget it. Always keep it in the spirit. Lock it in. Everybody say lock it in. To begin with, to end with joy, you got to begin with joy. Now, next week, we're going to concentrate on James' formula, the four imperatives, count it all joy. That's what we're going to begin with. We're going to focus on that as the Lord allows and directs. But see, we need to learn the correct response is to rejoice first. Not that you got the bad doctor's report. Not that you financially things are going down the toilet for you. Not that. You rejoice in the Lord. Amen. It's not a logical response, but it is a supernatural response. Because, see, things of the kingdom that God has prescribed don't always make sense. But they do make faith. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So it means to gladden. Rejoice literally means to rekindle the joy. So that means you got to take that joy and stir it up. Because you got to generate it. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so if we knew, I like how Pastor Mark was told by the Holy Spirit, he said, if you only knew what's on the other side of your rejoicing, you'd do it every day. Like Smith Wigglesworth, I give God a 10 to 12 minute high speed dance. How many of y'all danced to the Lord before? See, that's rejoicing. It literally physically means to jump up and down, spin around in a violent emotion and shout. Rejoice. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
It means to gladden up, sing, laugh, praise, thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
All for what reason, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. To generate joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and for things to end joyfully, you have to begin to act in faith in joy. So you got to generate joy. Everybody say generate joy. Some of y'all need look like you need me to slap you again. Get some joy going in your life. All right. So joy is the secret of reviving and refreshing. So people think, well, I'm discouraged. Well, you need to just act on the word. Begin to tell yourself that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being born again. When's the last time you rejoiced? Because you're saved. Because I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Hallelujah. The battle is the Lord. The victory is mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror through this because he loved me. Greater is he that's in me that's in the world. I give you thanks and praise for the greater one being on the inside of me. God's 1,000 times bigger on the inside than this problem is on the outside. Come on, you talking to the mountain. You rejoicing around the mountain. Saying this mountain's coming down. This mountain's getting removed. We all in the warm, hot, heated point of the battle need to be revived and refreshed. It is most critical for all of us to have and maintain our high joy level. Amen.
Amen.
So, this is the secret to joy and rejoicing. C.S. Lewis said, we got it quoted there, joy is the serious, what? Business of heaven. Now we say, well, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. All this singing and jumping and dancing, even the stuff we did Sunday, you know, running around, dancing, what you praising God, hallelujah, and things are happening in the spirit realm. If you only knew what was on the other side of your rejoicing in the spirit realm, you would rejoice every day. Amen. This is how you deal business, serious business in the kingdom of God. But you got your mouth shut. You got your hands down and your head down and your feet still stuck in cement. Nothing's happening. You waiting and you're wondering. I mean, God's got fun stuff. I mean, what are they doing? They rejoicing every day. The angels, it says, rejoice over one sinner who repents. That means they stop everything and have a party. They dancing and one person. And we get stuck trying to paying bills and never rejoice over our bills. Never rejoice over our job. Never rejoice over our future. Never rejoice over the call of God over our lives. Never rejoice over the difficult situation that you're in. You don't rejoice in the Lord. I know we got some weeks to work on this. We got to work on this. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for restoring to me the joy of my salvation. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That means when you have joy, when you joy in God, our Father, heaven is taking care of business for us. Now, I'll tell you a personal story, and we'll close here, and we'll pick it up next week. Every time something significant happened, you know, it was in a period of just rejoicing in the Lord. Now, again, for me, it was running a lot of times. So now some people say, well, you know, I don't feel like running. Well, you don't necessarily have to run. But when the Holy Spirit says run, you better run. He's not trying to get you to pull a muscle. But see, it's obedience. To step out in faith. If he says run, if he says laugh, you step out of faith. You don't feel like anything. And most of the time I didn't. Just where'd it happen? Right here in the spirit, in my spirit. Run out of church. Get out there and I'll start two or three steps. And we got some track boys over there that used to run track. I bet you when I was in the spirit, I could outrun them all. Because they said, my wife is telling me, she said, your coat was flying up straight like a cape. Well, the Spirit of God came on Elijah, and he outran the king's chariot. I believe there's an acceleration and an advancement in the Spirit that's waiting for us to rejoice. Amen. One lady got a key of this, and she said, I never had to pray for my kids when they got sick. God taught her the power of praise and rejoicing. So anytime sickness would come upon her house, she would start what? Praising God and thanking God and shouting in her own house. Would stop, because the Bible says praise stills the enemy and the avenger. Woo-wee. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And she said, no you don't, devil, I'll praise you right up out of here. Well, some of us need to take a cue on that and a clue on that. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
We got to praise him. We got to learn to rejoice. It's not an automatic feeling or feel like doing it. You got to learn to rejoice. Why? Because you need to generate joy, and you need to encourage yourself. And you need to be strong in the Lord. Now next week, just go ahead and stand with me. Next week, we're going to talk more about laughter, but I want to give you a little bit of sample right now. The Bible tells us in Job, at destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. That means they're getting ready to destroy your house, they're getting ready to take your house, getting ready to, you got famine, financial or physical famine. What does he say do to it? Laugh. That's in Job. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Now, so, some of us never laughed in a while. Now, medically speaking, we'll talk a little bit more about it next week. Medically speaking, they say you're supposed to have so many belly laughs a day. Why? The scripture says it. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Now, you think about it. MD Anderson down in Houston, one of the leading cancer research places, they have a whole club in the hospital. They call it a laughter club because they found out that the Bible is true. Now, they don't preach or anything, but they teach them how to laugh when they got cancer. Now, come on now. Medical science is catching up with the Word of God. The Word of God's already told us a merry heart doth good like a medicine. Amen. And sometimes we don't want to laugh. Well, I ain't got nothing to laugh about. Well, he didn't say you don't have to feel like laughing. Just laugh. Hallelujah. Come on now. And he said, when you get fear coming at you, he said, mock at it. So fear starts coming in your mind. It ain't going to happen. This is something really bad. Don't start crying. Start laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Now we're going to do a little bit of laughing practice tonight. A little joy practice tonight. Is that okay? We got a little few minutes. A little joy practice. Bad Hagen said when he got a stroke after he had got healed, raised up off deathbed, he got a stroke that, miniature stroke they call it, like a little, and it ran down and ran up his jaw came up, and he's a young man, and they tried to come back on him, and the devil kept running his mouth saying, you're not going to get healed, you're not going to get your healing this time, and the Holy Ghost gave him a strategy. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. And so he gave him a strategy, and he was sitting in the at night, and the Holy Spirit says, 45 minutes, just laugh at the devil. He told him to laugh at him. Right up out of the spirit, just came up, ha, ha, ha. Now, he said, first sounded like it just cotton mouth, and he was just putting something on. And the devil would say, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. You said I'm not going to get my healing this time. You said I'm not going to get healed this time. He said, that's right. You're not going to get your healing. He said, well, he said, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I don't have to get healed. Jesus already got it for me. 2,000 years. By his stripes, we were healed. And he said, ha, ha, ha. And he began to laugh, and that laughter began to bubble up on the inside of him. And then all of the paralysis, all of the heartbeat beating regular. And now he's in the middle of a faith fight for his healing at that moment. Couldn't sleep, but he laughed. Amen. Can we laugh tonight? All right, come on. Come on.